corn, Billy. In the garbage. Right into the freaking garbage.
You see that crap? All that horror crap? Things coming out of crates, eating people, dead people coming back to life, people turning into weeds, for Christ's sake. I never saw such rotten crap in my life. Where do you get this shit? Who sells it to you? All that horror crap?
What you know about
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this not-so-special episode of DWN Productions' THC podcast, sponsored by Fast Custom Shirts on this, the Horrorphilia Podcast Network and BoyGob.com. Another week is in the books, and am I glad there was no Andy Sedaris movies to be watched. How about you, Joe?
No, there wasn't, but you did something to us that reminded me a whole lot of Andy Sedaris movies, because you decided this was our Van Damme-niversary.
And I guess. Did you just come up with that one, or did you have it and you wanted to say it right?
Baby, I'm all about fucking improv.
No, you came up with that one. You were Van Damme-niversary. I hope I can say it right. And you did.
I would have used it earlier if I'd have thought of it. I would have made like some big banner or some shit. But no, that's just fresh off of my Van Damme head.
You haven't been drinking that much.
No, well, yeah, I have, but it's been spaced out because I've done a lot of shit today and I ate.
Oh, no.
Weird shit. You know, I ate a big fucking meal.
Was it one of those burritos?
No, I threw a ribeye on the grill. Fuck yeah, living large again, baby.
Why'd you just eat the eye?
Oh, I don't know. I wanted to eat the whole thing. I like ribs.
Oh, do you like riblins?
No, I don't like riblins.
Do you know what a riblin is?
Is that when they cut just like across the ribs and it's just like a little fucking thing of like a bunch of ribs and just a little bit of meat between it?
I don't know.
I guess that's not what it is.
I don't think so.
No, but, you know, did my thing, watched some movies, you know, in preparation for this show, because in fact, I watched the movies in preparation for our last bonus show, Tom.
Oh, no, so did I.
Yeah.
Do we have to talk about that, or should we just direct them to that episode?
Well, we didn't really talk about those movies a whole lot. We kind of like skimmed through because we went through his entire filmography of everything Severin sells and does and has, but we didn't focus a whole lot on Blood and Flesh, the Al Adamson story and how he died and documentary stuff.
That's right, Joe. We interviewed David Gregory of Severin Films, and you can find that episode in the archives and on YouTube.
It's pronounced archives. Oh, but anyway.
Our green onions.
Yeah, so this is another documentary from David Gregory. This is not Lost Souls. This is the other documentary that he did. It's about Al Addison, and you had asked me, hey, have you seen any of this guy's movies? And as the thing goes on, yeah, I have a fucking box set that has a lot of garbage movies on it.
Mill Creek.
And some of his were on there, like Blood on Dracula's Castle, which is not good. just some other shit he did that was, you know, not good. But the documentary was well done, and, you know, this guy got killed, so sucks for him.
Yeah, it was well done, and, like, there wasn't anything wrong with it, except it wasn't particularly interesting.
Yeah, it's just this Al Adamson guy did stuff. He cut corners like a lot of these guys did. You know, it's not like he was doing shit that nobody else was that didn't have a whole lot of money that was just cranking out movie after movie after movie. But yeah, I mean, it's worth a watch. I watch it on Tubi, which has commercials, and that sucks, but it's free.
Oh, I paid for it. Paid nope. for the rental.
Yeah.
I mean, even when we asked David, hey, how do we get on that review copy list, pay no mind list again?
Yeah. He just laughed that off.
fucking Irish.
You know, what are you going to do? What did you watch, Tom?
We'll get to that, Joe. We'll get to that.
Well, then we talked a little bit about Frankie and his pals on that bonus episode, and so thank you for the hookup on it, for buying me a copy that I could watch too, Tom.
Joe, you know what? It's okay, because you didn't. You got to watch it for free.
I did watch it for free.
I got paid $10 to watch it.
There you go.
We're okay. Like I said, as soon as we were done, I was throwing it on eBay, and then it sold.
I told you it would only take... What episode is this?
This is, like, not even a week later.
No, but what episode is this? What episode number?
This is episode 224.
Yeah, and I didn't think you could start making money off of this until at least 276. So...
Well, we didn't make any money off of the podcast. So, if anything, we've lost money.
Yes. And Frankie and His Pals. Yeah, that was not a good movie.
Mm-mm.
And I like
you, Zach, or whatever his name was.
All things Frankenstein, and no. No, this one doesn't deserve a place in my home. Not in yours either, apparently.
Mm-mm. I kept the white case, though. That I did remember to switch out. I think it's on Race War now. Or okay. No. Fisted, I think. DWMProductions.net.
If you find a yellow case, then I would switch it out with that.
I have a yellow case. It's from an animated movie called Adventures in Colored City that we'll get to sometime. It's about crayons and racism.
That's topical. That's topical shit right now, man.
So we'll see.
All right, we'll see. Then I watched The Other Lamb. It's a movie about a chick that lives in a cult, and it's just one dude, and it's a bunch of chicks. Some are the wives, and others are the daughters. And eventually, the daughters become the wives. It's like incest and shit, and like it's real artsy, but it is pretty good. I mean, if you aren't into
artsy...
It's pretty good. Yeah, most of the people that dig this show probably won't like it.
I don't know. Charlie, or not Charlie, Chris, my apologies, like some weird shit.
Who?
Chris.
Never heard of him.
Oh, should have said never heard
of
him.
Oh, the guy that used to be our top fan. Until he had you watch anime.
No, yeah, I mean, I got paid for that, but... I mean, I would have watched it regardless. I just wanted to find out what the fucking movie was. Oh. I was more in suspense that he wasn't telling me what fucking movie it was. I didn't want his money. I just wanted to know what goddamn movie it was.
It's pretty clever on his part. Flora Evergreen, that's what that movie was.
Violet Everglades.
Mm-hmm.
And the Robo Warrior made.
Did you watch anything non-Jean-Claude related? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then I'll go on. I just finished watching Clash of the Titans 2010, the remake that pisses people off that are big fans of Clash of the Titans. But remember, we both rewatched Clash of the Titans earlier this year and reviewed it, right?
I liked it.
It's okay. It's not great.
As long as you know what you're getting into.
Right, okay. So this one, it's not bad, you know? It's all CGI, but the CGI I thought looked really, really good. It's the CGI is better than the shit in the Marvel movies.
Your shirt is crying.
But yeah, but this isn't the movies. This is the real universe. You know, this is the comics. We'll get to the comics. It was a decent flick. You know, it's just, you know, stupid fun. It's all right.
Yeah, I saw
Medusa looks real good. Gamera that comes out at the end. He looks really good. I don't know if he's on that set, and you don't know either because you didn't get it.
I got one coming on eBay.
But the guy that plays Perseus again sucks, just like in the original. So they got that right. This time, he still doesn't yell it, but he says it more forcefully, "Release the Kraken." The stupid little Bobo, he comes out too for a cameo, but he doesn't get to come along on the adventure. It was all right. Dig it. Release the Kraken. Yeah. I had some of what the fuck is that beer called? Anyway, their pumpkin beer is called Jack-O-Lantern. Samuel Adams has one called Jacko. You know, you like all them pumpkin beers, right? Yeah, Punkle's good. Punkle's not overpowering. This Jacko,
it's okay.
It was all fucking nutmeg. You know, it's just like, fuck, this is too much of that artificial flavoring shit.
Yeah, the good shit is the one that's actually made with pumpkin and not fucking false spices.
Yeah. False spices. That's good. That's good.
I mean, that's what it is.
Right.
It's not pumpkin spice. There's no pumpkin in it. It's just the stuff people put in pumpkin to make it edible. Nobody but my fucking dumbass is going to go out and eat a pumpkin like a fucking apple. But right. I just love pumpkins, Joe. So if I see one walking down the street, I'm eating it.
You're going to fuck it first, probably. But yeah, that's all I watched.
That's all you watched?
No, that's not all I watched. But that's all that's not related to tonight's topic.
Hey, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second anal Jean-Claude Van Damme-a-thon. Last year, we were pretty high at the end. Not high, like we were intoxicated on drugs. Yeah. But we were pretty like, Jean-Claude's awesome. He's awesome. And, you know, he's so good that we're going to do this every year. So we were pretty high on Mr. Cloud last year. Let's see where we stand now, Joe.
Well, Tom, unlike you, I didn't try to watch all his filmography in the past 5 days. You know, I wanted to leave some shit for next year.
The thing was, I went to ye olde used DVD store, and I said, all right, I'm going to pick out the first 3 Juan Cloud DVDs I find that aren't scratched up. And while I was perusing, they said, hey, it's buy 3, get 3 free. And then I said, oh, fuck. And one of these 6 discs I got was a double disc of 4 Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. So, you know, I got a lot of Juan Cloud for my $15. We'll get to that. What did you watch?
I started it all out with Black Eagle. Now, this is Jean-Claude before he's Jean-Claude. You know, so far he had just done
Breakin'
and No Surrender, No Retreat.
No Retreat, No Surrender.
That one, too. So this one, he's not the lead guy. He's the lead heavy in it.
But they put his face on the cover.
They do now. they do now. I don't. I've got to find an image of what the original poster looked like, because this was a Sho Kasuji movie, and Sho Kasuji.
Bless you.
He's known for action star. You know, if you like action flicks, you know who this guy is, but he can't speak English very well, so it makes it a real hard thing to have him the leading guy.
Does it sound like?
Fuck, I don't even remember. But the thing is, like, this movie, it's not, the action scenes are not very exciting, the few there are. It's a lot of, like, foot chases through fucking Spain. And, you know, you've got this whole big thing anticipating the Sho Kasuji fucking Jean-Claude showdown. But it's shot really fucking weird to where, you know, it's at night and you can't see what the fuck's going on. And it's, you know, Howard Wexler would have been really upset. all the fights in it, they're just shot like odd and to where they're not very exciting. And it sucks because, you know, Sho Kasuji can do some shit. And Jean-Claude, he's still young enough. He did the split. Like every time he dodges a fucking punch, he like splits down, then hops back up and throws a kick.
But, at least you got splits. I didn't get any splits this year.
I can't really recommend this movie unless you're a Jean-Claude enthusiast or...
Which we are.
Completist or a Sho Kasuji. But it's not a very good movie.
Was Sho Kasuji the guy who worked on Theater Bazaar?
No. Sho Kasuji was in Enter the Ninja.
Oh, I thought it was the Man Witch.
No, he was in Return of the Ninja.
Domination 3?
Oh, yeah, he was in Ninja 3. No, wait a minute, he was in 9 Deaths of the Ninja.
3 Stars of the Clan?
Him too.
What did I watch? Let's do that one last. Until Death. What the fuck was this one about?
What year is this one?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't write that down.
Well, is it more like the past 10 years or is it early? I mean, I don't think it's early.
I would say 90s, maybe 2000s.
Okay.
Maybe. What? In this one, Jean-Claude is a guy doing these. Oh, he's a heroin addicted cop. This is the one where Mr. Clout, or JC, as his friends call him. So in this one, JC is a heroin-addicted cop, and he's tracking somebody, and he gets shot. And before he gets shot, his wife says, "I'm pregnant by this other dude, you heroin-addicted fuck, and I want a divorce." He was like, "Get out of here, you bitch. I'm on fucking heroin." So she fucking goes, and he goes and gets shot in the fucking head. And he's in a coma for a while. And she can't divorce him because he's in a coma. And you can't sign papers when you're in a coma.
So it's like Seagal in March for Death or whatever, where he's in a coma.
Haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. And, like, the guy whose kid it is, like, they're all living in the same house together, if you want to call what Mr. Cloud's doing living. But in the end, I think everything works out, and they get back together, and he raises a kid that isn't his, maybe? Or maybe it is his kid. I watched a lot of Juan Cloud movies after this, Joe. The fact of the matter is, it's not worth watching. Except to see him on heroin for like maybe a minute, but after that, it's who gives a fuck.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're 0-2. What'd you watch?
I continued down the line, and I was just trying, going down the line and finding whatever is free to watch. So the next one was Double Impact, and I think it was on Amazon's.
I think I did this one last year.
This is the one where he plays twins that were separated shortly after birth. Yeah.
This is the one Howard shot at the beginning?
Yeah, I think so.
We were just driving through China or Hong Kong or some shit.
Right, yeah.
How'd it look?
Oh, it looks fantastic. Fantastic look. It's not a good movie, man. You know, he's playing, like, one brother that's naive and, like, innocent and everything. The other one that's gruff and gritty and he's got his hair slicked back. Always has a cigar in his mouth to show how tough he is, you know, and... Yeah, you get that bodybuilder chick Corbin in it, and it's just not good, man. And again, you know, I thought Bloodsport was really good. You know, you saw a shitload of fighting styles, and they didn't cut away. They would, like, show these guys fighting, or at least doing the choreography. This one, it's all quick cuts, and it's a lot of, like, POV shit. Like, Jean-Claude will throw a kick, and it cuts real quick to the guy, just like, you know, throwing back like he just got kicked or whatever. And so you never really see a good fight in this thing. and the scenes with Jean-Claude next to Jean-Claude, they're fucking horrendous. It's terrible, man. Not a good movie. This one doesn't hold up for shit. That's another zero on our mark here.
Zero for three. Mm-hmm. All right. Universal Soldier. I think you did this one last year.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck didn't they just call it Deathlock? And, you know, it would have been the same thing even if they didn't make them look all fucked up. This Naked is Deathlock. Deathlock in a freezer. Joe, I didn't care for it.
I thought that one was okay.
All right. So, we'll just not count that one since it cancels it out.
Yeah.
We'll just whoosh. So it's still 0 for 3.
0 for 3. Death Warrant. Jean-Claude is a Mountie.
He's a French-Canadian though, right?
Yes.
So it makes sense. Okay, good.
French.
Not like all these times where he's supposed to be an American and his parents don't have a fucking accent, right. But he's over here talking like he makes French bread for a living.
Movie starts out, he's staking out a building, and he gets, you know, on the radio, "Don't go in, wait for backup. He killed my partner. I'm going in."
Who the fuck was that supposed to be?
That's Jean-Claude. He goes in and shoots this dude down called the Sandman, the serial killer that had killed his partner. The Sandman, that's right, old Flint Marko. Himself.
I thought it was the game. And
yeah. So that's it. That's our introductory scene. Then they call in Jean-Claude because they need somebody that American prisoners won't recognize. So this Mountie would be the perfect guy to come in and go undercover in this prison because there's a serial killer in the prison killing prisoners.
Just one?
And now he's killed a guard and something else. So he goes undercover as, you know, a armed burglary guy, because that gets you a lot of respect in prison, they said. And
good he wasn't a child molester, because that's the complete opposite in prison.
He gets into some fights with some Mexicans and befriends a transsexual. I don't know what they called them at that time. I
thought you were going to say a mouse.
And... And then, lo and behold, who comes into the prison? The fucking Sandman. So he's outed. He's outed as, like, an undercover cop. Yeah, this movie's not good.
When he's outed as an undercover cop, they just pull him out of the jail right away. So nothing happens to him and it's over and they have to think of another plan, right?
You would think so, but... The prison is complicit in everything that's going on. Like, all the people that have been murdered, they've been selling their organs off.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
Yeah, again, the fighting in this is shit. It just fucking looks awful, man.
So, would you recommend Death Warrant?
No, I wouldn't.
Zero, zero out of four.
Zero, yeah.
Okay, well, I watched Universal Soldier, The Return, with Billiam Goldberg. This one's a lot worse than the first one.
That one, that got theatrical release too, I think it did.
It did, and it got a lot of fucking, a lot of publicity and shit because of Billiam Goldberg, the world's worst wrestler.
He's pretty
I'm still pissed when he kicked you in the head and gave you a concussion, and then you rode your bike and had that stroke.
Yeah. But I had to sell it, you know?
There was no selling that. It was a shoot, brother.
I was dead.
So, yeah, zero for five so far. Joe, what'd you watch?
Cyborg.
This one I was pretty bummed I didn't get to. I said, next year I'm going to do Cyborg. So let's see if I'm going to do Cyborg next year, Joe.
There's some plague that's fucked up the world. Pretty topical. And there's this cyborg that has the fucking key to solving the plague. But she's captured by some wasteland warlord dude that just happens to be a guy that killed off Jean-Claude's family and crucified Jean-Claude and left him for dead. So Jean-Claude figures, hey, this is my chance to get revenge on this dude and save humanity. This movie, again, the fighting fucking sucks. Usually there's one actor in a Jean-Claude movie that can kind of carry his shitty acting. You know, like in Double Impact, it was the guy from all the Clint Eastwood movies.
Clint Eastwood?
No, it wasn't him. But this one, there's nothing. There's nothing to go on. This is an Albert Piyun movie, and I really like most of his shit. This one's probably his worst movie. But
what else has he made?
Alien from L.A. this movie's worth watching, though, just for the flashback scenes, just to see the wig that Jean-Claude is wearing. Oh, man, you will crack the fuck up. It's like, why? Why that wig? When was would his hair have ever looked like this? Good shit.
So would this be 1 out of 6? Or 0 out of 6.
I'd still say it's 0 out of 6 because if you can just find those scenes and skip the movie itself, then you're good.
Did his old wig, was it covering up his forehead?
Yeah, he had like bangs and shit. And
did you notice he like wears a lot of hats or hair that covers his forehead?
Mm-mm.
He's got a growth right here on his head, I noticed. It's like he had a donut implanted on his fucking forehead. And I just noticed that. And I was like, what the hell happened to him? It's either a medical condition where fat cells build up, or it was when Chuck Norris kicked him in the head when they were training. But next time, look, now that's the only thing you're going to be able to see. Now that it's pointed out.
What Van Damme movie did you watch, Tom?
I watched Pound of Flesh. So Van Damme goes to China to donate his kidney to his brother's kid, so I guess his niece. But the night before, he goes out partying and does a little drinking because he's going to donate his kidney. That's something you do the night before. You do some drinking, and then he picks up a slag, has sex with her, and then he wakes up in a bathtub full of ice, bloody colored ice.
That old scam. Fuck, I hate when that happens.
And damn it to hell, she got to his fucking kidney first.
Mm-hmm.
So now one kidney, Juan Claude, has to go around and get his fucking kidney back for that little girl.
I wonder how much that kidney weighed.
1 pound.
1 pound.
So, it turns out that Juan Cloud had sex with his brother's wife, who's now dead, and that's actually his kid. And they knew all the time. So now it's even more imperative that they go and get his kidney back for his kid niece daughter. And he does. But, wait, no, he doesn't. Because that kidney was stolen to give in to another kid. And he said, damn it. And Juan Cloud was like stabbed or something and he was bleeding out. I'm going to die now, Bubba. You take my kidney. I die now. The end. She gets the kidney and everything works out except Juan Cloud's dead.
That's just sacrifice, man. That's, yeah.
It had its moments, but I'm pretty sure it was made by foreigners, and it was just kind of weird and cheap. But I would say check it out if you're a Juan Cloud fan.
Okay, so we got a one now.
1 out of 7.
All right. I watched a compilation of interviews with Steven Seagal, where he's just pretty much bad-mouthing every other martial artist film star, like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Please joke. We just changed the subject.
No, I don't want to talk about that. What about Jean-Claude Van Damme? Please. If you want to call him a martial artist, I don't.
Yeah, I just posted an interview with Michael Jai White. He was, it was Jean-Claude Van Damme a fighter? Man, come on. So if you want to see that, go to the DWN Productions Terrible Horror Crap Podcast Facebook page. Or just search YouTube yourself, I guess.
Yeah. But also on there, I posted this this whole thing with Steven Seagal, too, where he's putting them all down. Chuck Norris? Dude's like 70. what an arrogant fuck he is.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm not a Seagal fan.
Yeah.
So then I watched Knock Off. This is where Juan Cloud and Rob Schneider have a jeans business, and then they get fucking tied in with bootleggers. And it turns out Rob Schneider's an FBI agent, but then he gets doubled crossed, and it's a whole bunch of bullshit, and they're mad at each other. But hey, at the end, fuck it, we're going to sell jeans again.
I vaguely remember this one.
Yeah, it's a 1 out of 8. Don't recommend Knock Off. It had a couple funny parts, but it's no Sudden Death. Sudden Death was fucking great. I still don't have that, but Sudden Death's good shit.
Sudden Death is good.
I'm gonna put spiders in your mouth, you little whore.
Bloodsport's good.
Yeah, Bloodsport was good.
And of course, No Retreat, No Surrender is the best. So.
And that one John Woo one where they were in Louisiana.
Well, see, I gotta rewatch that one. Maybe next year. Maybe okay. Next year I'll get to that, and we'll see. We'll see. Because the thing with
this is one where he punches the fucking snake.
Yeah.
Calls the snake the F word and then punches it in the fucking mouth.
Which movies did I talk about?
Shit, I'm looking. Cyborg is the last one I have written down, and then you had the Steven Seagal shit was the last one you said. Okay,
so then I talked about Death Warrant, and yep. I don't know, there was some, okay, I started watching Lionheart, but I got only like 20 minutes of it, and I had, I had like a gummy bear. Do you know that they put illegal drugs in candies now, Tom? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. So, like, I got real tired watching this movie and just went to bed.
So you had a druggy bear?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I did. Mm. And so I didn't finish watching this movie, but he's in the French Foreign Legion in this. His brother is, like, trying to get into drug dealing, but he's not real good at it, so they set him on fire.
Damn, that motherfucker's lit.
So Jean-Claude has to leave the French Foreign Legion, which you don't do. You don't do. He's got to leave them and go
leave you.
And fight for his brother or something. I don't know. That's as far as I got.
At the end, I bet he gets him.
I'm sure he does. And then maybe his brother, like, wheels out of the fucking hospital and, like, he's going to be okay once he gets all them skin grafts and shit.
Hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Second in command. Wong Cloud is second in command, and then the first in command dies, and there's a hostage situation going on. And
that's tough luck, man. Like, first day on the job. Fuck.
And then everything works out, and it sucks. What'd you watch?
Does he kick anybody, or does he just, like, talk them down?
Yeah, I mean, he kicks. He kicks in all these movies, but I didn't see him fucking splitting any of them this year. Fucking prick.
Yeah, I guess he's done with that. That's all the Jean-Claude I watch. I had started watching an interview with him where they're asking him about God, and he's getting real pissed off because he's an atheist or something. Mm-mm. But it didn't.
He's not, but we'll get to that.
It didn't seem funny or anything, so I just kind of. Nah, quit watching it.
So when you see CORPS, how do you pronounce that?
Or?
Okay. Because I always get that confused. It's like, is it core or corpse? Who fucking knows? Either way, I watched a movie called The Hardcore, I guess. And this is a JC blaxploitation movie. He's in a mental home, a vet's home, because he has like PTSD or something. And then he gets hired to be this boxer's bodyguard because a rap mogul just got out of prison and he's trying to kill him. So, the rap mogul's henchman does shit like, feed people to dogs. So they got these dogs that come in at the end. At the end, the dogs eat one of the bad guys. And there's a lot of gunplay.
So it's a lot like Hannibal. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah. The fucking pigs ate them.
Yeah. But
this time it was dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. There wasn't a chase scene like all good blaxploitation movies should have. Mm-hmm. So that kind of sucks. I would say this one's worth checking out, but I wouldn't watch it again. So the hardcore, I guess. So I guess we got like 2 out of 79.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. What else did I do? I watched... Jean-Claude Van Damme's Damn Van. And this is a short. It's maybe about 30 minutes. It's just a joke movie. Somewhere they found like green screen footage of Jean-Claude and just edited it into their funny, goofy little movie that just looks all out of place and everything. It's fine. It almost overstays its welcome, but... it's okay. It's on YouTube to watch for free. It's just a goofy, goofy little thing.
Yeah, 30 minutes. If you're overstaying your welcome in 30 minutes, that's, yeah.
I mean, the joke just kind of gets old.
Yeah.
Like a good solid 10 minutes, that probably would have been the best. But if you're a JC fan, then maybe check it out. But I guess the best thing that I've watched is part of the second anal Jean-Claude Van Damme-a-thon is behind closed doors, JC's reality show that I guess only aired somewhere in Europe or some shit. It wasn't broadcast in America, I'll tell you that shit. This shit reminded me a lot of Borat. It seemed like if that fictional crew who made the Borat movie or the Borat show, the fictional show, like that fictional crew came over and made JC's reality show. And just, you know, because he's a fucking foreigner going around, party, yeah, you know, it's just, it's funny to laugh at. So the first episode talks about, like, Jean-Claude going to this church and praying that his acting career will happen. And I prayed to save the world. And then lightning struck or something, so he knew it was a sign. And I'm not sure if he's off drugs or not, but he's definitely not off alcohol. Because they show him getting fucking drunk off his ass and going to clubs and shit. He just, I guess, how reality shows are all bullshit. I mean, we should say that flat out. Mm-hmm. So they portray it like he has this dog rescue in Belgium where he lives sometimes, where he just finds stray dogs from around the world and nurses them back to health at his Belgium dog rescue farmer.
Because he's whatever a good guy. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And, then he has an apartment in Toronto and a house in L.A. And I think there was like two other spots, and he doesn't live with his wife. He's just gallivanting around the fucking world living the Jean-Claude life.
See, this is before, at one point he was on like Entertainment Weekly or fucking Inside Edition for like being real drunk at some party, and he starts hitting on the reporter there that's doing interviews, you know. He's like fucking, hey, you want to go out with me, you know. I looked for that shit and couldn't find it anywhere, but he, you know, I don't know if when they show him drunk in this, is it kind of like that, he's genuinely drunk, or is it bullshit like drunk?
They just show him drinking a lot. And they don't really show him getting all fucked up. There might be like a couple seconds here and there. We're just talking like this, yeah. But it's not like he's, well, okay, he's not drunk, but he goes on Fun Radio, which is a stupid fucking name for a radio show. So you know it's somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Fun Radio.
See, everything's like that. Just like, oh, yeah, we're foreigners. Party hardy. And, you know, like the whole thing's just shit like that. It's the narrator's a foreign dude. Pretty much it just comes down to, oh, fucking American laughing at people who talk funny. Hey, make sure to check out our interview with David Gregory. It's great. But he goes to Fun Radio, and one of the, what are they called, hosts, I guess, the female host, so, oh, yeah, you're my crush, baby, why don't you kiss me? So he fucking goes over there and, like, deep tongue kisses her. And then he looks at the other girl host, like, all right, you're next, honey. Goes and fucking deep tongue kisses her. So I'm pretty sure they're fucking open and down to do whatever. His wife used to be like a female bodybuilder or something. And his kids that he's putting in movies. I don't know if they're in anything that he's not in. But
okay. Okay. So just for this brings me back to what was it? Black Eagle or whatever. The one with Sho Kasuji. This movie also has Shane and Kane Kasuji in it, his two sons, and his son, I think Kane, one of the two, has a fight scene where he's fighting like three other kids on the street. And even though it only lasts like 4 or 5 seconds, it's the best fucking fight scene in that movie. This little kid's got some chops, man. But it's like, that's it. That's the best you see in that whole fucking movie.
I have a list that I'm going to read from of stuff that I made notes of while I was watching. I think it was all 7 episodes of this thing. But, yeah, this didn't know last year. Oh, yeah, JC is a good dude. This one's just like, all right, kind of fuck this guy. I just don't care.
I kind of got that this year, too.
He seems kind of full of himself, just your regular, typical Hollywood dildo.
You know, like, especially after coming off of the summer of Sedaris, you know, I thought, fuck, we're gonna have some fun, see some good shit, and I saw a lot of similarities between these movies and the Sedaris movies, but go ahead with your list, and
I'm it's sure... Just like, if there's a formula, don't fuck it up, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of these notes are from the Behind Closed Doors series. All right. Prayed that he could save the world, then cried when his movie Eagle Pass wasn't going well. So yeah, I tried to find Eagle's Pass. It's a movie he wrote and directed that got all fucked up. It has like 3 different names, and I couldn't find it to watch anywhere. So hopefully one of these days we'll be able to find that train wreck and watch it. But this year, no luck. Has a dog rescue ranch. We got that. Doesn't live with his wife. Got that. He goes to the Moulin Rouge. Do you know what that is besides his song?
Some, like fucking whore district, like showcase district in France.
It's pretty much like a topless play.
Yeah, like a burlesque
showgirl type thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Was coked up and asked for Jim Carrey money, and that's what got him blacklisted from Hollywood. So I guess Universal wanted to make more movies with him. And he said, all right, you give me $20 million or whatever Jim Carrey was making a picture, and they told him to go fuck himself. So, that's why Mr. JC is, you know, just making bullshit like second in command and knockoff.
So, yeah, so when I read up on Double Impact, it's like he's got writing credit. He's got credit on the script for that. But it was like this is the movie. He didn't want to be just the action guy. This movie he wanted to diversify and show his acting chops. And he said, look, and especially with this love scene I have, that's going to escalate me and get me desired by more directors to do, you know, shit like that. But he was apparently really fucking full of himself at that time and, like, learned some lessons along the way. And that's, I think, why he's doing more shit that's a little more, like, making fun of himself. You know, like, he doesn't mind doing that now that he's learned some fucking lessons that Hollywood will spit you the fuck out as soon as, you know, as soon as you cross a line with them.
Yep, or do anything, because...
Like, what? You don't fuck kids, you're out of here.
Pretty much. And that goes to my next note I made. It says it's all bullshit. And then there's a part where him and his manager, I guess his foreign manager, because he has a lady who works with, who's his manager or assistant or whatever in California. But they have like a Winnebago or something they're staying in on set for some movie he's shooting in some Eastern European country. And his big fat manager, like the guy from Borat, that's why a lot of this shit is. He's just like just laying on some small sofa or something that's in a and people think we live in the 5-star hotel. Yeah, right. And then like the next episode he's checking into 5-star hotels. JCVD loves the Arab world. He went over to Dubai and he's just hanging out with him. And they bought him one of those chic headdresses and he's wearing it. It says, JCVD loves the Arab world, .. and drinking. And he goes back to his dog ranch after traveling the globe and not seeing his wife. Like, the end of each episode is just him talking to his wife over Skype until, like, midway through the season where they meet up. He goes to his dog fucking laboratory or farm, whatever the fuck it is, and he just lays down. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And dogs are just walking all over his face and shit. And he has this one dog that's crippled, so his back legs just drag when it walks. It's just like, oh, fuck. Hey, he still loves to party. We mentioned that already.
Yeah.
They had a Christmas special that I'm pretty sure was shot in June. I could be wrong. Nothing really worth a fuck, but the daughter's fake gimmick boyfriend comes up, and the Jean-Claude just gives him like a couple of his movies. Like, here you go, you fuck. Oh yeah, they were gonna make a Bloodsport 2 or a Bloodsport sequel. And they found out, or he found out that he wasn't going to be in it. So he just has a meltdown and starts crying about it. That was like the big thing in the season. I think I sent you a clip.
But, yeah, they did make that movie. Or something. They made, yeah, there's like a Bloodsport movie, but I think he's actually in it that just came out this past year.
Well, maybe his crying got somewhere then.
Yeah, I guess so. It's like, fuck, we really upset this guy. Let's go ahead and throw him a fucking roll here.
Oh, shit. Oh, good, good. I have the best line written down. I leave my homeland. I leave my dog. And I leave my bird. It's a talking bird. And then my dog. And my bird, they die of sadness. This is pretty good, Joe. At least once an episode, they show him pissing. I guess he said, come over here, I'm going to piss, take a picture of me piss. Great success. And he has to wear a nostril separator. They say it's from a deviated septum, but I think it's so his shit doesn't collapse from cocaine use.
From all that's the coke, that's what I would think, yeah.
That's only me just, yeah, you know, I don't know.
Septum issues usually, from the people I know, it's because they have a lot of coke. A lot. A lot.
So, those are my notes for that, and it's worth a watch. All the episodes are on YouTube. It's nothing great, but it's something funny to laugh at. So that was probably the one thing I said, oh yeah, if you got to pick something, that would be one. But I also, I didn't write down, I watched Replicant. In this one, Juan Cloud plays a serial killer called the Torch, who goes around killing mothers and then setting them on fire because he was abused by his bitch of a mother. So what does the U.S. government do? They clone him. So they have a clone that'll think like him and be able to find him.
To take him down, but I'm sure that clone has issues of its own, right?
Yeah, it doesn't know anything. And it's supposed to be like a kid where it doesn't know how to walk or learn, but Juan Cloud plays it like somebody with special needs. So the only reason to watch this movie is to see Juan Cloud do his portrayal of Rosie O'Donnell from Riding on the Bus with My Sister. However, there is one good scene. Excuse me. I forget why he ends up in the red light district. The special needs clone, that is.
The Moulin Rouge?
No, this is a different movie now.
Okay.
So it's just a cheap alley with whores. And one of the whores, hey, come with me. And she's, hey, you don't have any money? I'm calling my guy. And then Juan Cloud jumps on her and dry humps her. And she pushes him off, and he came in his pants. There's like a big stain, and he's sitting there picking at it and playing with it. She's like, oh, I didn't know this was your first time. But two later, Pimp comes in and beats the shit out of him, cum in his pants and all.
Oh, I fucking hate that.
So, I mean, it's worth watching just for that performance and that. But I forgot our numbers. We say this year was pretty low.
Yeah, this was real fucking low. Last year's picks were definitely way, way above this shit.
Maybe we just watched all the good stuff last year.
I think so. It's like, yeah.
All right, so anything to say to wrap up this year's Jean-Claude-a-mania?
I'm not looking forward to next year.
If there is a next year because of the coronavirus.
Right, right. The first thing they're going to do is shut down the podcasts.
And the 7 hurricanes that are coming.
That's right. Later, Houston.
Bye, Joe. Yeah. Watch the reality show. It's funny to just laugh at. There's nothing really there worth a fuck. It's just like, foreigners, what do they do next? The damn van, that's, I guess, funny. It's just a little joke type thing. And the blaxploitation one's all right. The hardcore. And him playing with the pool of cum in his pants is pretty funny, too.
I'd say check out the flashback scenes in Cyborg just for that fucking wig. Don't watch the movie, but just fast forward to that shit. And then watch arrogant-ass Steven Seagal talk shit about every action star in Hollywood, because that's pretty funny, too.
All right, so I guess better luck next year, Jean-Claude.
Yeah.
So, Joe, you like Spider-Mans?
You know, if I could give Jean-Claude any advice, it would be this. Never step on a scorpion.
Hey, Joe, you like Liz? I mean, what's there to say? Scorpion gets out of jail.
Okay, let's go into his jailbreak here just really quick.
Okay.
Because he was locked up for, I don't know, property damage.
Couple issues.
The last time we saw him. But he acted like he was insane and went into a depression. And they gave him his costume back so he could deal with those issues. And that's how he breaks out of prison. Because he can do this thing where he can coil up his tail and push his ass up into the sky and jump around like fucking the Hulk.
What kind of noise do you think that made? Yeah, me too.
So that shit's just fucking ridiculous. Spider-Man, he's put on some weight and needs to go buy new clothes.
Well, he's dressing nicer now.
He's got to kind of tapped out at the bank. Yeah, he's wearing like a yellow vest. Like he's on the fucking security patrol or something. Yeah, the scorpion breaks out and then wants to come and fuck up J. Jonah Jerklin. But Spidey's there to fight him, and they fight. And this episode I learned Spider-Man can talk underwater. Yeah, there's fucking dialogue panels while they're fighting underwater. So what the fuck?
Blurp, 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 gurgle.
Yeah, not a good issue. Ned Leeds is back. He came back from his, whatever the fucking foreign correspondent job he had. So, like, he's macking on Betty Brant, and Peter's all jealous. Aunt May fucking has a dizzy spell at the end.
Again, can this bitch not stay out of the hospital?
Right, but she's holding it back from Peter because, you know, he's a nervous type and she don't want to upset him.
She probably just held her breath too long because she's a stupid fucking bitch and got dizzy.
That's it. That's all this fucking issue is. the panels that Kirby does that go all across the page, those are really good. That's it.
This wasn't one of the good ones, but so far there haven't been many of those.
Not many. I'm losing my faith in the fucking golden age of Marvel, or this was the silver age.
That's all right. We're going to move into the Romita era soon.
Pretty soon.
So next week, I forgot or didn't even bother to look up what next week's issue's about, but I think we're getting close to that classic image of Spider-Man holding up all the rubble and shit while the water's filling up. So we'll see how good that beloved fucking issue is, really.
That might be another lizard issue. I don't know. I'll see which fucking... I doubt they're going to introduce a new villain. Hopefully they don't, because if it's somebody like fucking Goldface, then
Tingler.
Forget it, man.
Let's list it up, Joe.
All right, so...
Tell them about the list while I go get a beer.
This past week marked a significant day in the history of our country, because it was one of the days that women were allowed the right to vote. And this was done due to the efforts of strong women, women that stood their ground and said, hey, man, we want to vote. We want our rights, and we want a chance to make a difference and let our voice be heard. So with that in mind, I decided that this list would be movies with a strong female lead. Movies where women just stood out. And Tom's not back yet, so I guess I got to fill some fucking time. Head on over to fastcustomshirts.com. And you can find a lot of films, t-shirts, with films of women with strong female leads or something like that. But none of those are going to be on this list, probably. But all right, Tom's back, so we're going to get started, I guess, with our honorable mentions.
What list is this?
Female leads, strong female leads.
Probably should have been our favorite Jean-Claude movies, huh?
Maybe.
Save that for next year.
Yeah.
If there is a next year. Oh. Honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. I have The Handmaiden. The Park Chan-wook. Great, great movie. It's twists and turns. It's women fucking dudes over and... You think that they're getting fucked over, but no, they're the ones doing the fucking. The guys aren't doing the fucking. They're doing the fucking. After that, I've got the Sam Raimi classic that no horror fan ever talks about, The Quick and the Dead, with some woman whose name I forget. She's a gunslinger, and she's out for revenge in this shit. And this is a fucking good movie. This is one of Sam Raimi's best movies, you know? Fuck that Evil Dead shit. Fuck Spider-Man 1. Spider-Man 2 is really good. But The Quick and the Dead is really fucking good. And then I have Coffee. That's right, the Pam Grier classic. Blaxploitation, if you're a fan of Blaxploitation, you know this movie. If you don't know this movie, you're not a fan of Blaxploitation, so fuck you. Then I have Under the Skin. Scarlett Johansson's an alien chick going around killing dudes. And
is this the one where you see your pussy hole?
She walks around naked throughout the fucking movie. It's great.
You ever pull your wiener, Dewey?
Nah.
Are you queer?
Then I have Mad Max Fury Road. It's Charlize Theron's Furiosa character is just as good as whatever his name that played Mad Max in this movie. The only reason it's
That'd
on
be Venom.
Honorable mention and not on the list is because she's not the lead in this movie.
Yes, she is.
But she should have been.
She is.
She has more speaking roles.
She's definitely the lead. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. She is the lead.
Well, I said she's not. Honorable mentions, Tom.
Well, I had to, because I knew you weren't. So I just did, in general, the Andy Sedaris movies. I didn't want to, but just kind of had to. And then I had Thomas Savini's Night of the Living Dead.
With Patricia Tallman?
Boy! And then I had Wrong Turn.
Which one?
The first one.
Oh, okay.
There's with Eliza Dushku.
Dushku.
And then I had Coffee, the blaxploitation classic. If you don't know Coffee, then you don't know blaxploitation, apparently.
That's fucking true.
And then I have Frankenhooker, because she tore that fat guy's head off, so that has to be considered strength.
Good old Patricia Mullins.
Number 10.
A faster pussycat. Kill. Kill.
Now you gotta do the...
this is not a very good movie, but it's a cool movie. It's fun. And all three of these chicks in this movie, they're hot as fuck. And it's iconic.
Are they hot as love, as they Reggie are. Bannister would say?
They are. He'd probably sing a song about it, too.
Hot as love, baby. Baby, 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 baby. Baby, baby, you're hot as love.
Fucking lyricist, man. He's a fucking genius.
Number 10?
Yes.
Domino. The movie based off Domino Harvey, the female bounty hunter. It's been a while since I watched this, but I have the DVD, so I had to make the list.
So you liked it at one time?
I did. This is when Mickey Rourke was getting his fifth resurgence after Sin City. And I was like, oh, Mickey Rourke's in this. I got to check it out. It's like, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Is this the guy that directed Donnie Darko?
Oh, I don't remember, Joe.
Think so. And I was thinking, hey, that was good. Let me watch this. And I didn't think it was very good.
I remember the movie being very yellow.
It's got that little boy in it, right? Playing the lead.
Tiny Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Some real skinny little boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a very progressive movie is what you're trying to say, I think.
Yes.
Okay. Number 9. Sorry. Silence. Number 9.
Silence of the Lambs. I wasn't telling you to be silent. I'm saying the name of the movie, Silence of the Lambs. Jodie Foster plays Clarice Starling, and she's really good in this, and she's not, you know, this movie doesn't talk down to women. She's a capable FBI agent.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
What did Migs say to you, Joe?
I don't know. Can you still hear them crying, Clarice?
He said I could smell your cunt. That's what he said. And then he threw cum at me. That's what I remember about that movie.
I bet.
The cum throwing.
I haven't seen that one. Oh, I thought that was your number 9.
No. My number 9 is your number 1, which is H.P. Lovecraft's Underwater.
Haven't seen it, but I'm sure I just saw the monster because I just watched Clash of the Titans 2010. We have a Gamera type creature with a bunch of tentacles. Yeah. He wasn't a friend of children in this one. Fuck no.
Fuck you, Kenny. Number 8.
Number 8. Let the Right One In.
Is that the original or the remake?
The original. I haven't seen the remake. I've heard it's okay. Maybe I'll watch that for next week. I thought this was cool. Cool flick. Cool take on the vampires. You know, cool take on bringing in a thrall to do your bidding as a vampire and making them think like, hey, you know, we're in love and shit. And really, you're just using this person and fucking up their entire life.
So, I know you don't consider her one, but I consider her a woman, a strong woman, and that is Jimmie Lee Jerklin in Halloween.
Yeah, all right. Halloween finally makes one of our lists.
Had to eventually.
Yep. Still no Nightmare on Elm Street. Still no...
Probably will never happen.
Right.
Least favorite film series. Number one, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Most overrated bullshit.
Andy Sedaris collection. Number seven.
Number seven, my number seven is Freeway 2.
Confessions of a Trick Baby.
Confessions of a Trick Baby is that fucking subtitle or tagline or whatever you want to call that.
The subtitle.
Yeah, this is a fucking good movie. I'll rewatch this again at some point because I enjoyed it so much.
My number seven is Kill Billiam, Volume 1 and 2. I'm just counting it as one. She was able to bust out of that coffin with, like, not that
crawling thing out of the coffin, yeah.
Gotta be strong to do that.
And then went and ordered coffee.
Yeah. Decaf.
It's a strong woman there.
Number six.
Spent all that time wiggling her toes. Number six, China O'Brien, starring Cynthia Rothrock, she's a great fucking action star. I'm sure Steven Seagal didn't think about her because he probably would have paused and said, whoa, she's the real deal.
Was that Ninja 2 the Domination or is she in something else? Or Ninja 3 the Domination?
No, I don't think she's in any of the Ninja movies.
She was in something I just watched a video about. I remember that name.
Yeah,
from the Rothrock clan.
You're right, exactly, yeah. She did a lot of shit with Jackie Chan and Sammo and, you know, that bunch of people. So she knows her shit because in those movies, they stay on camera. It's not like quick cuts and everything. They go all out on that shit.
Do you go all in?
China O'Brien is fucking great. Give that a watch.
Well, my number six is all-encompassing except for the third one, because I think it's the third one. Fuck Medieval Times and all period pieces and shit, but I'm doing the Underworld series.
I was wondering if this was going to make your list.
It did. Made number six.
I really need to go back and rewatch all of these. I lose track of how many they made and what order they're supposed to go in because they don't have like one, two. They fucking start calling them like, you know, Underworld.
Blood Wars.
Yeah, and shit like that. Well, okay, well, what part is that? Fuck.
What part of the game is this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I'm just going through. I have a list of things. Like, for when we got to pick this. So what's the next series we're going to do? And I'm just adding Underworld to the list.
Hey, so tracking back to Jean-Claude for a minute.
Oh, shit. We didn't even say what we're doing next, did we?
So, like, Street Fighter, you know, the movie, it's called Street Fighter the Movie. And he's credited for that. He's in it. But there's also Street Fighter the Movie, which is a video game.
It's called Street Fighter the Movie, the game.
Yeah, so he's got voice credit in that, too. So maybe I'll just, like, download that on Steam next time and play that.
You never played it?
Nope.
It was popular for the summer it came out. It's, like, digitized people, like how Mortal Kombat was. They were trying to get the fucking right off of that shit.
The realism.
Yeah, it's not good. What are we looking at?
Five.
Number five, Joe.
I've got the classic film, Showgirls.
Wait, I fucked up somewhere.
Yeah, you did. Or did you do your six?
I have like two written by nine. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. What? Okay, well, I guess Ready or Not should have been in there somewhere already. So we'll just say that and...
Yeah, that was okay, aside from that chick. Yeah, so my number five is Showgirls with Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell. This movie's a whole lot of fun. She's great in it.
Is it a jar full of jelly fun?
She comes back and kicks Kyle MacLachlan's ass.
With her foot?
Yeah.
Damn.
Either him or somebody else. I don't know. She kicks somebody's ass. Mm. Simone. That's her name in the movie, Tom.
Well, she's not African-American.
No.
So that's kind of weird. Not judging or anything. Number five, Joe, stars your favorite leading female, Samara Weaving, and that's Guns Akimbo, co-starring Harry Potter. I really like this movie.
Did it even come out this year? Okay.
It all came out this year.
All
right. It's on the list. Number four.
Freeway.
The Bokeem Woodbine Classic.
It's a fucking great movie. What's her name? Brittany Murphy. Reese Witherspoon is tremendous in it, and she's never been this good in anything else. She is just fucking amazing in this. And she's a powerful woman. She's not taking any shit from no serial killers, from no judges, from no prison guards, bros. Nothing.
My number four is the George A. Romero classic, Day of the Dead. I can't remember the character's name, but the lead character, Powerful Woman's.
Bub?
Yes, her name was Bub. Number three.
Cherry 2000. Melanie Griffith is like a bounty hunter type chick, and she's hired to retrieve this guy's sex bot that he lost. And they gotta find it because Adam Ant, who is a cult leader in this devastated wasteland, has that sex bot. Great movie.
Number three, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Because of Stretch.
You really like this Patricia Tallman, don't you?
Yeah. It's a cool dude.
Yep.
Number two.
Alien. Sigourney Weaver. Fighting an alien.
Just like a typical woman, she has a cat.
Yes, she does. Yeah, I like her more in this than in any of the other ones where she's just like a badass. And the other one, this one, she's just like somebody dealing with a fucked up situation. You know, and she's really good in it.
My number two, Juliet Lewis in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Well, didn't she just want to fuck Quentin Tarantino in that?
No, she wanted to get eaten by him.
Right, well, I guess that's kind of like her telling him that makes her pretty powerful, right?
She knows what she wants.
Right, yeah.
Don't be scared of a powerful woman's Joe.
I'm not, that's why we made this list. You know, they can vote now.
What?
Yep.
They no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you who's not voting then.
You know what else they can do? They can possibly be vice president. If
there is, I'm out of here. Number one.
Ghost World. Not only is it a movie about strong women coming of age, but it is the best comic book adaptation ever made. Great movie.
You and the Scar Jo, I swear.
She's great.
Well, my number one comes as no surprise. Or surprise.
Black Widow, is that still coming out this year?
Sometime. And that is Planet Terror. You got to be pretty strong to walk with that gun.
That's right.
Be able to hold it without kicking back and hitting yourself in the head with that shit. Then she had to carry that baby on her back at the end. Man, strong.
Strong woman.
Well, Joe, that was an okay list. Maybe next week will be better when we talk about list our top 10 movies with musicians in them. Not movies that have like a made up musician or a made up band, but these are movies that actual musicians are in. They can be the lead, they can have a cameo. It doesn't matter. But movies that actual musicians are in.
Movies with magicians. Got it.
Leprechaun 3.
Yep. Terror Train.
So, yeah. This year's Van Damme anniversary, not great.
Not good. Not even good.
Summer Sedaris. Fucking over. What's our new series, Joe? What's the new pile of shit we're gonna trek through and bring it into the house so it stinks up the fucking joint?
I suppose starting next week, we are gonna be tackling Creature Features, which was a series of films, I believe Cinemax, or who did this, Showtime?
It says Cinemax and or maybe it was Showtime and HBO, but it's like Showtime or Showtime Cinemax, one of those, and HBO always gets brought up.
Yeah, well, Cinemax was always a subsidiary of HBO. That's why that's like HBO Max.
Then that's what it is then.
Okay, so yeah, this was just a series of films that were remakes. So like all of these are remakes.
They weren't remakes.
No.
So these, Stan Winston, he wanted to make movies and he didn't want to direct yet. So he came on as producer, and the idea was to take titles from old Arkoff Pictures,
mm-hmm,
and just totally do something different with them, with a creature, but use the same name. So they were made pretty cheap, back to back to back. And just like in the 80s and the 90s, it seems that these were made to push a toy line because Stan Winston Studios came out with a figure of each creature.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about those things. Yeah. Yeah, so they're remakes in name only.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is all the information I was able to find, because that was all the information that was in the Stan Winston book about it.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of people remember these coming out as like a whole, like one movie a week type thing from Cinemax or whoever the fuck it was. So I don't know. I don't think we're covering any new ground here, but fuck it, it's new to us. At least most of them will.
No, I've seen them.
Yeah, well, I saw like three or four of them. I didn't see them all.
Next week we're starting with Teenage Caveman. I don't know if that's the first one they put out, but that was the only one that I couldn't find, and you happen to have the DVD, so you sent it to me, and I got to watch it quick and send it back, or we can do another watch-along like we did with Frankie.
This is the person that did Kids, right? The movie Kids?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So hopefully no one gets AIDS in this right one.
Yeah, the future has AIDS.
No, the future sucks. Get it? Because
yeah,
it was that time and teenagers. Yeah. And www.fastcustomshirts.com for all your t-shirt needs. If you need some custom shirts, hit them up. You'll get them fucking fast. It's in the goddamn name.
DWProductions.net. Hey, Halloween is coming up. Better get your orders in soon.
Yeah, so you can actually get it for Halloween. So I'm about to get fucking busy.
Yeah, the post office ain't doing anybody no favors, I'll tell you that.
Neither are these supposed hurricanes. But
no. UPS sucks too. FedEx can suck a dick.
Hey, stay safe out there, folks. Boy God.
So goodbye to Roseline. I wish I could stay to live.